What I'm about to show you is a documentary put together by Court TV, and I'm going to show it to you by not just showing it beginning to end, but by taking segments of it and then fast-forwarding through, sort of doing an edit as we go along. This particular topic is, to me, very interesting in evidence because the Rodney King video is an object in evidence that tremendous numbers of people have been exposed to. And so it's a test, in a sense, of the idea that meaning is made by taking objects in context. And when you change context, you can change meaning. So there's actually a challenge in this for you. I suspect that you start with a view of this that pro-prosecution. And the challenge will be not to have you leave here agreeing with the defense, that's not it. But the challenge in terms of professional lawyering skills and evidence is a lesser one. Can you see it from the defense point of view? Can you actually grasp what it was that the defense was projecting? Not just as an abstract idea, but so you actually can see it from the defense point of view. That's the ultimate challenge.
Right, now, I want to explain something.
Here, Stacey Kuhn there, talking about the training and rules and regulations of the Los Angeles Police Department. And I wanted to collaborate what it is that he's driving. According to the rules of the Los Angeles Police Department, pertaining to the use of force in arresting the suspects, they establish three levels of force. The first is no physical violence at all, just voice command to a suspect, commanding the suspect to be compliant. And what be compliant means, put your hands in the back of you and allow handcuffs to be put on, or with a suspect who is more violent, to actually get down on the ground, face down, and put hands in back of you and allow yourself to be handcuffed. Then there's a second level of force that's considered to be violent but non-deadly force. It includes use of the baton below the neck. Above the neck, the baton is to stick the sword, not only there demonstrated, is considered to be deadly force if it's to the head. But if it's to the body, it's considered non-deadly force. And that's for a suspect, be appropriately used for a suspect who is not compliant and needs to be brought into compliance, but is not posing a deadly threat. And then the third level of force is the use of deadly force, which includes a baton to the head, a chokehold, or shooting the suspect. Now the structure of the regulations and the training of the Los Angeles Police Department is that officers in arresting situations are meant to use the lowest level of force that's appropriate, and they are to use that force to the max to prevent the situation from escalating to the next level. And as they see a suspect moving towards compliance, they are to de-escalate their use of force. But as they see the suspect moving away from compliance toward resistance, they are to apply force up to the max of their level in order to try and bring the suspect back down into compliance. So that's the structure that Kuhn is describing. And this next witness you will be hearing is also describing the three-tiered level, where within tier, you go to the max when the person is not complying, but de-escalate as soon as you see the suspect moving to compliance. With, in this situation, compliance being defined as lying on your stomach and putting your hands in back of you.
So that's all the video that I actually want to show you, but let's just review what the story is and then go back and look at the Rodney King tape. Let me just rewind. So
let's just review the story. The story is there's a high-speed chase 8 miles through Los Angeles at night that speeds up above 115 miles an hour. Rodney King is stopped by two officers of the highway patrol. As they're involved in arresting him, he's being recalcitrant to some extent. Melanie Singer pulls a gun and approaches. Stacey Kuhn, head of the Los Angeles Police Department unit that arrives on the scene, takes over. Controversy between state police and the LAPD. Basically, the LAPD thinking that state police are a bunch of, I don't know what, but LAPD, that's the way they think of themselves. Once Kuhn takes over, the story is that two of the officers, Wynn and Powell, have Rodney King on the ground.
and one each on his arms, and they're trying to get handcuffs in back. As they're trying to do that, he resists that, pushes up, lifts up, bounces Powell off onto his backside, and then as he's rising, Kuhn hits him with the taser. Kuhn tases him twice. After he's been twice tased, 50,000 volts, like a big cattle prod. After he's been twice tased, Powell and Wynn approach him again. It's at that point that the videotape begins. That's when the guy at the window starts pressing the button on the camera. And the first few seconds of that videotape on the camera depicts the scene when Rodney King, having been twice tased, now on his feet, charges at Powell. And where Powell says, he was coming at me fast, I did his check swing, that's when I hit him to the cheek. And it's after that that we see the Howell video unfold. That's basically the sequence of events. Now, the question is, let's look at the videotape again, and see if you can see the police case in it.
That's going to take me a minute to find it here. But... there were subsequent witnesses who appeared, basically lineups of policemen coming on, some more experts, but you really heard all of the substantive testimony.
Away and no trial proceeded in that fashion. Prosecutor Gary Lye isn't taking anything for granted.
As you listen to this, see if you can hear over the noise of the helicopter the officers yelling, get down, stay down, that sort of thing.
All right, so that's right in the game. The jury deliberates, they find these officers not guilty. Los Angeles erupts, major riot. The country absolutely does not understand the jury's verdict. The federal government initiates a federal indictment, notwithstanding the double jeopardy clause. Powell and Kuhn are tried, not Christino and Wynn, a second time in Los Angeles. Second trial, Rodney King testifies, does fine on the witness stand. The jury did. That's the story.
So, I want to talk about this tomorrow in evidence class from the point of view of relevant seriality, combination, hearsay subjects where, but perhaps we're supposed to bigger than that.
Yes, I just wanted to know, what was the federal charge?
Federal charge is a civil rights charge of denying someone their civil rights as the additional element that it has to racially motivated.
Yeah, what did they get?
We was knowledge of Alan Coon.
What did they get?
Do you remember what they got? Anybody know? Remember they got Powell and Kuhn both served time. I think Kuhn served about 4 years, and Powell was also away for some period of time.
Yes.
You know where the kids about to go tomorrow? Speak up real loud.
The first trial was very testimony and quite a lot of time.
came first. And they, in the sequence here, they've got it out of sequence.
Okay, I got it. You're absolutely right. The way this works, if he was indicted in Los Angeles County and under the defense made a change of venue motion, which was denied at the lower court, but granted of the appellate, and the trial was then moved up to Ventura County.
My question is, during this crime review, is there a standard or by the way which where you move it to have to be a graphic manner within state? I mean, how does it determine where
now change of venue motions are one of the most ridiculous things in a high profile case. They were supposed to change that fair trial because of the publicity. But the idea is you move it to another county in California, and then imagine we're not going to have the same kind of publicity. It's pretty stupid.
I was wondering how the prosecution went without getting any. I think there were some minority laws, or I don't know what the prosecution was, very successful on that regard.
All I know about it, well, I know things at a couple of levels. All I know at one level is 34% of Ventura County is minority. At another level, it's clearly the largest default of the California trial system. They allowed this trial with an all-white jury. The idea that they possibly get any kind of satisfactory resolution with an all-white jury in the case of life and so from the point of view of the lawlord, you know, Solomon actually trying to resolution, it's just a ludicrous fault as far as the California does. Notwithstanding, too, it's still the case that Ventura County is not, you know, it's not like Selma, Alabama, 1960, fairly cosmopolitan place. Yes, an all-white jury, but you have the same kind of jury in Cambridge. And those people had to be persuaded that there was a reason doubt in order for them to approach. They were persuaded that, yeah.
Probably never explained why they thought for a comment.
No. They just basically were saying that some people, big powerful people, were really determined it's not something they wiped out.
Yeah.
And it's obviously mixed. I don't know exactly what it was. Definitely. And in the second case, the fall also that it takes place in Los Angeles, where after the first trial, Los Angeles blew up. So that's the kind of odd situation for a bunch of jurors deliberating. And, you know, we quit the second time on what's going to happen this time. So one could make some fairly potent claims that the second environment was at least as low as the first, but in a different direction. Yeah.
I didn't know if it was like a trial.
I don't remember. I would bet there was. I don't know that they reached a level of accusation, but it clearly was understood as the fact that White, particularly, was in a kind of a conflicted position, that is, the prosecutor relies on police as a witness all the time. Their basis is rule. And for him to be suddenly on the other side, prosecuted, was a difficult position in him. Notwithstanding that, White comes in for a lot of criticism for, well, basically, overestimating the power of the film as evidence that is not realized. The lesson that I'm hoping to all of you that even something as utterly damaged as the film is nonetheless an object which, if put into a context different from the one that started, can change me. And White just didn't anticipate that. The prosecutor is the second time around, but this trial goes too long, do a much, much better job of prosecuting. Some of White's questions are really very annoying. Start off with other side expert witness and ask the question, you were shocked the first saw the tape, weren't you? What's the expert on the other side going to do? Oh yeah, I was shocked by this. Forget about it. He's a practice witness. So he's vulnerable to criticism, but he was also a very difficult guy.
And there is no appropriate form for that. Therefore, there will not be form for that.
I think that's basically right. That's the way Chicago is. Kent is a part of charge. That is, the mere fact that he may have been more excessive than a juror would like to establish. That's not enough. That would be an object then. But there was actually an intent requirement that they had to, in some sense, know that they were getting excessive. So if they say, no, we're just operating in the regular structure of a Los Angeles department, they've got a pretty solid cover to make that situation. Yeah.
How did Powell explain to Laster according to the...
I don't know that. That's not on the... And I don't have the transcript. I don't know that. It does seem pretty damn... obviously, funny kind of a guy, scooting around with a prosecutor with a serious throat and all this stuff. One can give him the credit that he was really scared by it. Obviously, it's not every day for him. And when you get hit in something like that, you get a little about it. So, I don't know. But there's no explanation that I'm the prosecutor, but I just had actually no idea. It was sure, but they weren't able to do much with it. That is, it's the officer himself saying, this is what we believe, and they're able to say what somebody on the PCD is reputed to do, and a bunch of them have a lot of experience. And King was exhibiting some very powerful, determined cases. So they were not defeated on their asserting they fought. The guy was, drug crazy. So that basically does. Did anyone particularly attend to the way this case ends? Maybe he's been unfair about the way the defense put it.
Yeah. By the way they broke up the case, they kind of like stopped the flow, analyzed little movements. They were kind of like trying to point the fact that his leg was bent and rising. I mean, it looked to me like she was reacting to me. Even if I was hot, you're trying to protect yourself. You're trying to stop the person from being hot. But if you're able to take 1 second of it and show this, then maybe it does look like making kind of aggressive movement. But I think hot sex does more like you're trying to protect the hot as opposed to
touch. Well, what they did clearly was break the tape down, all things, and at the point where Spence was vulnerable, analyzed the tape, showed that King was moving towards resistance rather than moving towards compliance, and argued with himself. That was definitely their strategy. And, so they used the fact that Cristino holds up his hand and stopped the activity. Cristino is like, almost like a self-supervisor. That's an example of him moving towards compliance mode and the supervisor saying, that's the time to de-escalate. That's the time to de-escalate, as opposed to the time to cut him back up on his hands and knees. They're trying to get him down, but as he's rising and they're kicking, that look is so incredibly terrible. And yet they're in a position being able to say, we're trying to get him back down, flat on the ground. That's what we're trying to do. I mean, not flat on the ground and not moving out of that. That's when we back off. That's when we stop racking. You know, revert to the lower level of force. That's their case. Now, it's not on the video. There are definitely places on the tape where you load these trucks that are pretty hard to defend in terms of nice structure. But if you take the thing overall, then basically the cops have attacked twice, and there's got to be a little wiggle room somewhere, something like that in the jurors' minds about the policemen who are protecting. It's definitely got an appeal for that sort of thing.
Yes, sir. I think the fact that there were four of them on the ground, that they heard the export soldiers, and it seemed like sort of a possibly inverse one by the military export coming in on that very kind of.
And it was more than four, too, because all the
experts, I mean, there's no logic,
but the expert I didn't show you here, and then there were a slew of further police witnesses came on after. Basically, the defense turned out the local police. Put it to the jury, are you for the police or are you against showing support for cops, by other cops? That was definitely no one. You're right. That is part of the defense strategy. Take the film, so shot, first time, second time, third time, see it, and immerse the jury, analyze such detail that eventually becomes an object of loose emotional effect. I think that was definitely part of the strategy. People object to the use of language by them. Yeah.
I tried to get a good pair of things I were.
Okay, I'm looking at it. You popped out.